here at the 2017 MAX conference put on by the fine folks at Northwest Credit Union Association. And we are here with Deborah Massino. You are the Chief Marketing Officer at Oregon Community Credit Union.
That's correct.
All right, I got my facts straight.
Yeah.
Glad you're here as well.
Yes.
So you are presenting, you said you were on a kind of a panel today, and then you're presenting tomorrow. So what are we going to be talking about?
So today I am going to be a part of a 2 o'clock session where we are kicking off the Northwest chapter of the Global Women's Leadership Network.
Okay. Which excited.
I'm very, very excited about. One of the main missions is to help promote women leadership in credit unions, which is very exciting. And then tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be presenting on, it's called Standing Out, but it's really about how to transform member experience at credit unions.
Okay.
And it's really about some of the competencies that credit unions need in order to kind of build that foundation and really take their member experience to the next level. There's a lot that are attempting to do this, but you really need to have someone responsible for it, set a vision, and then employ some of those competencies.
Well, without stealing some of your thunder, can you give us a quick little couple of nuggets there?
Absolutely. Okay. So one of the things that I talk about is I first ask, you know, who at your credit union or at your organization is really responsible for member experience. And one of the interesting things is a lot of people will say, well, everyone is responsible for member experience. And what's interesting to note is Forbes recently wrote an article that said the problem was saying everyone's responsible for customer experience. And the problem is when you say that everyone is responsible for member experience or customer experience is that the customer experience gets lost. 85% of companies last year claimed that customer experience was their number one priority.
Okay.
That's what Forbes said, and yet they didn't put anyone in charge of it. And what happens when you don't, you know, you can have this great strategic priority for your organization. Think about that, 85%. They're saying that this is their number one priority, and yet they don't put anyone in charge of it.
Yeah.
And the article went on to say, to add insult to injury, they don't really put enough resources behind that customer experience effort. So you really do need to think about if this is one of your number one, you know, projects or programs that you're going to tackle, you need to put someone in charge of it. And it really needs to be someone in your C-suite. And the CEO needs to be the ultimate champion.
Right.
So at credit unions, there are some that have put a chief experience officer in play. Others are following the lead of what Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies are doing, which is putting that CMO in charge of the full customer experience. CMOs are really kind of going through a big renaissance, if you will. Others think COOs are in the best place to do that. Although, if they don't understand customer journey mapping, UX, UI, it can be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But we need someone. At OCCU, we have a member experience team based of members from across the organization. But credit unions that figure this out sooner than later are going to be really wise. The next important thing for credit unions to consider is they really need to understand why they're going for this MX transformation before they, you know, go to the how. A lot of times people are really wanting to skip to, I see a complaint, let's go fix it.
Yeah.
And it's natural tendency of a leader to want to do that. But what ends up happening is you have all these silos fixing all these different issues. And in a digital world, it causes so many issues. So you need someone responsible. You need to understand the why. And some of the whys are really fascinating. There's recent research by Luke Williams, the head of customer experience practice at Qualtrics, that talks about 66% of consumers leave because of poor customer experience. And so attrition is a really big, big issue. But one that makes me sweat at night a little bit is 95% of customers that go through a poor customer experience tell someone else about it. So, I mean, if you even think about your last poor customer experience,
oh, yeah.
You told someone.
I'm telling my wife. I'm telling a friend.
You went through a bad drive-through, got mistreated at a restaurant, or you went through a line that, you know, or a bad online bank, you know, not online banking, but maybe, you know, someone didn't... you ordered something online and got the wrong order, you get upset. You tell your spouse or friend or relative. That's what happens when people get upset at our credit unions, and we need to be aware of that.
We Yelp it right away.
That's right. Online reviews, that's what happens. And so we're missing out on those opportunities, and we need to be aware of it. So there are lots of business reasons why, but we all need to understand the why, because ultimately that's going to help us set the metrics down the line. And so, you know, in that program, then you kind of set up the competencies. You do the research that's involved, and the research can be, you know, the quantitative and the qualitative research, but it's also sharing that research with your staff and doing persona research and really understanding it at a level where you're mining the data. We do that in credit unions, but we need to take it to the next level if we're going to customize it. And one of the challenges, I think, that many credit unions face is we have not had that single source of data. Some credit unions are looking at their technology. We've kind of Frankensteined a lot of technology, unfortunately, because just the way credit union technology, no offense to credit union technologies out there, but they were a little slower to adapt than other industries in terms of offering good APIs. And because of that, we haven't been able to get that single source data. So those that are moving towards service engine buses are going to be able to do that and be able to have that data that we can mine a little bit better with business intelligence and whatnot, but it's going to be critical if we're going to ever be able to offer those customized personalization that people are really looking for us to be able to be competitive. And when we get to that point, then we have to prioritize. When we have all that research done, then we have to prioritize. And I would say that this is probably one of the biggest hamstrings that outside of data that credit unions face. And having the ability to prioritize correctly is not just a credit union issue, although I think it's one of our biggest issues that we face. And that is, how do you take the vast number of member experiences that you need to solve and decide what you're going to do? Because you cannot fix every single member experience touch point and issue that needs to be solved. So how do you choose? How do you pick which member groups you're going to focus on, which personas, and then which touch points that you're going to? You have to say no to some.
Right.
And really,
you're not going to please everybody.
You're not going to please everybody. And really, there's a lot of roadblocks that come up against it. Harvard Business Review recently did a study, and it talked about what are the biggest roadblocks to prioritization. And ironically, across all companies, it said the two biggest ones are really organizational in nature. Number one is silos, which I think a lot of credit unions can understand. Mm-hmm. And two, it's really cultural in nature. We get in the way of our business processes in terms of how we're set up. So when you look at, and then the rest are technology oriented. So it's, old systems and lack of APIs and some of those other things, but they're kind of exacerbated by the greater organizational and cultural issues. So one of the things I think that we can take from that is some of the rest of the industries, though, outside of credit unions and financial institutions, have learned this a little earlier than we have. And they have put customers at the center of their organizations. And this is something that we're going to need to adapt to sooner. And that's kind of when you harken back to the very first example of who's responsible for member experience. We need to quickly start catching up to that, because we've oriented our organizations from an internal structure standpoint around products, and we need to start orienting them around the customer, and in our case, members. Because if we start doing that, we're going to be able to solve these member experience issues in a much better way because technology feeds into it, marketing feeds into it, operations feeds into it, channels feeds into it in a way that's very, very different than you have operations and lendings and whatnot. It's a very different way of structuring things. The rest of the world has kind of moved on and we're still stuck in a little bit different mindset, but that's how we're going to be able to prioritize and get projects done. At Oregon Community Credit Union, that's how we're beginning to tackle our prioritization. We're going to do one big program this year and look at it that way. And then once you are able to prioritize, then you move to design. And in design, that's when you have to be agile and set up innovation labs. And that's when you're doing your design, your prototyping, testing with members, and reiterating over and over that, you know, minimal viable product. And again, you can't be doing, you know, there's always shiny new objects, you know, around you.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're realizing is we have to have the big view. We have to have that vision that we talked about in the first place and really discern what do we want? What are the big touch points that we want? And use that lab for the big program and know, okay, this is the UX UI that we're looking at and how can we use members to give us feedback and iterate until we get it to a place where we're ready to launch. And then when we do the enablement, that's when we're ready to bring in, you know, and equip our members and our staff to understand what does that mean to them. Because I think this is another place where we want, we don't want them to fall down. We can't just have a new technology and then like, okay, it's ready.
Yeah. Doesn't work like that way.
It doesn't work that way. Our members don't want that. They need training and our staff has to really understand it because these are complex and it's, you know, we're moving people's cheese and we want them to feel empowered to understand it and we have to spend more. We have to, you know, whether it's how-to videos and putting things out on social, putting things in branch signage and holding seminars, you know, the analog ways and the digital ways that make people feel comfortable that they're going to be able to really utilize channels in the healthiest way that are meaningful to them at all different personas, all different demographics in a way that's meaningful to them. And then finally, culture. And culture really matters as we go through these big shifts and big changes in the member experience, because we're facing this precipice that is really, to me, it's kind of our Kodak moment in the financial industries. And either you're going to have the talent that is ready for this, or you're not, or you're going to be left behind. Yeah. And if you can get your culture to rally around it, that's going to be really, really important. So at our credit union in November, we're going to be having MX camps, so member experience camps, where every member of our staff will go through the camp. They'll be learning all about our new personas. They'll be learning about our MX philosophy that we wrote that has been gone through multiple iterations with our leadership team and stakeholders. They will learn how and when we're going through our big program to kind of digitally transform the organization, what that means to them and how they're a part of it and what their role in that is. And I would encourage, you know, all organizations and credit unions and, you know, organizations that touch credit unions to really think about what that means for them, because we're all in this together to help, you know, really transform the landscape right now, but it's going to take everyone as a part of that, and everybody needs to understand what their particular role is in that. So I think we're already known to be an industry that cares, that is personal, and really matters in the lives of our members, and now it's how do we translate a lot of that onto digital platforms and including analog, but in a way that is allows us to go back and forth because, you know, in our case, 74% of our members prefer to bank digitally, but they also like to go to the branch occasionally. So how do we make those transitions for them to be as seamless and convenient and personable and memorable as possible? So it's a really, really exciting time, and that maturation of MX transformation is something that I think most organizations are going to need to go through as we are competing with so many organizations that have bigger product R&D budgets than we do. But we do have a lot at our fingertips if we mine it and work with it and stay optimistic.
Great message. Great message. And the member experience is such a moving target as well, because there's so many variables involved.
And
I'm thinking, like, what's the perfect member experience? What's an ideal member experience? And I don't know if you can sum that up in a sentence, but I mean...
An ideal member experience is going to be different for every person.
Right.
And so the more that you understand each person and persona, for instance, you know, I'll give you an example. So one of our personas is a social savvy starter. And that person is a new young adult. They're just beginning on their financial journey. They're going to be someone that is more concerned with, they're going to bank mobile. They are just, you know, a little confused about what it takes to really save for financial. So we have to look at their customer journey map and really what touch points is meaningful to them. So you're not going to want to overwhelm them with a lot of messaging about the wrong things. This is where that customization comes really relevant, and why it's so important to know that persona. Mm-hmm. So we would message or trigger messaging to them that is more about, you know, a digital newsletter to them that's a little bit more millennial targeted. We have a cha-ching newsletter around millennials that's more written in their language, that is more relevant to that age group. And we would talk to them about saving and putting an automated savings for their paychecks that would help them save in a really easy way. Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But we wouldn't, you know, burden them with things that they're not interested in. So we know exactly, with some machine learning and predictive analytics, about some of those things that are most likely going to be the triggers of those products and services that they're most interested in. So that's why knowing those personas are most important, and what types of messaging and even the tone that audience is likely to respond to. And that's why those focus groups and the quantitative and qualitative research is so important, because it's meaningful. And the more then you can get into machine learning and whatnot and see those behaviors about where they're looking, how often they're on mobile, and use that. We have Adobe Campaign, Adobe Analytics, and Adobe Target, which we're very grateful for, but that also allows us to look at their behaviors and where they're visiting. We can customize things even a little further with text messaging and things like that. But I think the ideal, to answer your question, the ideal member experience is one that speaks to a member in a way that's personalized to them.
Individual,
obviously,
that's where the data comes in.
Yeah, exactly. The more personal it feels to me,
that's huge.
The more meaningful it feels to me, the more convenient, the more easy it feels to me, the more I feel like you know me, that's what's meaningful.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh, Deborah, I could go on and on, because this really interests me, but you got stuff to do. And
appreciate it.
My last question for you, though, is, here, I'm on camera, I'm covering my mouth. How weird is that? My last question to you is the complexity of marketing today.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think it's ever been more complex because of all the channels that are out there, all the different generations that we have to serve.
Absolutely.
Now. It's mind-blowing what's going on out there. How do you keep control of that? I mean, I think that would be a good message to a credit union out there who may not have the resources of, a billion-dollar credit union, maybe, $150 million, $100 million. What would be some advice you want to give them to kind of wrap up here?
That's a really great question. I'm very fortunate to have the team that I have with me, and they are brilliant at what they do. So you are correct. So in an ideal world, you would have someone that really understands search analytics, search engine marketing, search engine optimization, campaign triggers, and
I'm already feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, well, and all of those things that go along with it, and trigger marketing, and really diving into social media listening and all that goes with it, and content marketing for sure. for credit unions that are not able to have a dedicated social media person, a dedicated search digital media strategist, and all of those types of things, the most important thing to remember is that sometimes the most important thing that you can do is to partner potentially with an agency that potentially specializes in that, but one that doesn't charge potentially an arm and a leg. But having a digitally savvy agency is critical. And I can't say enough, we've partnered with IQ. There are some agencies that are local, some that are national, but there are some that really understand that digital world, and it's really, really important to find those, and some that will just do search. You know, even if you can just do one thing for yourself, it would be to find a good search partner, because you need to be able to show up in those listings. You need to be able to show up in all of that. That can be so meaningful. Just your mortgage applications can go up just from being in the right, you know, search on Google if you're doing that. Alone.
Page one.
You know, and you
gotta be on page one.
You need to be able to do that. And then also, you know, recognizing that you would be amazed at the amount of money that we spend on traditional marketing, re-leveraging those dollars into digital advertising. You would be shocked at the results that you can get for the same spend in digital if you do it correctly.
Your ROI, like Facebook ads, things like that?
Well, yeah, and the ROI that you can get on some of this is powerful, and it's trackable.
It's really
trackable. And so if you don't have someone, either on your staff, or you're not partnering with someone that understands that world, start vetting, start looking around, and start asking questions of who can I partner with that does understand that world, and don't stop until you find someone, because that's really critical for today's world. I'm not saying, I mean, we still will buy a billboard and we will still do those things on occasion, but the majority of our spend is in digital, and that's, you know, I would say where everybody should be spending the majority of their budget these days.
My, how times have changed. Oh boy. Deborah, thank you so much for that great message.
Pleasure.
Oh my gosh. Again, I could have gone on about this is so cool stuff, but I know you got stuff to do, so thank you
my
so
pleasure.
Much. Oh my gosh, this is such great stuff, so thank you.
Thank you. Awesome.